The 24-year-old man was in tears after the interview. But they weren't tears of sadness. They were tears of joy. He was interviewing to be part of a religious order, an order characterized by intense obedience. Within this order, he would be told what to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He would follow a rigid daily routine that included mass, mental prayer, chanting the breviary with the whole community, meals with the community, and work and study. All this would be dictated for him every day. So at the end of the interview, the vocations director invited him to come to the monastery to start a more intense discernment. He was invited to join, in other words. This young man left the interview in tears, but they were tears of joy. Why joy? Because he realized this would be the concrete way of giving himself to God. Obedience would be the expression of his gift, and this young man's heart wanted so much to give himself to God, and now a huge door was opened to make this a possibility. His heart was full of joy at the prospect of such a concrete gift to Jesus Christ by obediently living the rule of the religious order. Tears of joy. Obedience and joy. They really belong together. And today's reading fits them together. Today is Gaudete Sunday. That means Rejoice Sunday. So the opening antiphon from the Mass tells us to rejoice because the Lord is near. The Mass gets its name from that opening antiphon. The antiphons are pretty important in the tradition of the Church, aren't they? Gaudete, during Advent, Laetare, during Lent. Those are the beginning words of the antiphons of those Masses. So, on Gaudete Sunday, the Church gives us the first reading, telling Israel to rejoice, because the Lord has removed the judgment against her. But more importantly, rejoice because the Lord is in your midst. Shouldn't you and I rejoice in the Lord even more so, since we have Him in our midst, always here in His real presence in the Mass? Furthermore, the first reading says God will rejoice over Israel. There is so much rejoicing when it comes to being close to the Lord. But being close to the Lord requires living His way. It doesn't make sense to say we're close to the Lord, and yet we don't live His way. That makes no sense. So, being close to the Lord requires obedience. Obedience, then, leads to joy, and obedience is evidenced in our Gospel. In the Gospel, we hear the follow-up to John the Baptist chastising his listeners, calling them a brood of vipers, telling them to produce fruits of repentance if they expect to be accepted by the Lord. John's hard but loving words were very fruitful. So everybody asks, what shall we do? What's beautiful is that the Baptist's message of obedience to God's ways pierces to the heart in every segment of society. There is a way for everybody to be obedient to God. First, the crowds ask him, what should we do? John says they are to practice charity to those in need. Then the tax collectors ask him, and he tells them to collect only what is just. Don't skim off the top for yourself after charging more than you should. Then even the Roman soldiers ask him, "What shall we do?" And John the Baptist tells them to be truthful in all their charges against people and be satisfied with their wages. John is speaking on behalf of God to every segment of society. There must be a hunger in every segment of society for the ways of God. Otherwise, why would they bother to respond to John with these questions after he chastises them? That makes total sense, since every human person is made ultimately to know and enjoy God. And without that divine relationship, every single person will experience a lack in life that is pretty deep. Such was the case for society around St. John the Baptist 2,000 years ago. Such is the case in our world today. Everybody around us needs to know God and to live for Him in order to know the full potential of joy in this world and in the next. And knowing God means obedience to Him, even for you and me, who are not members of religious orders. For my own obedience, I must always consider the tradition of the Church, the fullness of the faith which I am obliged to pass on competently. So, there is no way I can teach anything, for example, that's contrary to the catechism of the Church. That would be disobedience. Very concretely, I have to think about what my bishop would expect in my assignment. How would he think about things? And being proactive, exercising proactive obedience, I have to discern what to bring to him for his opinion and what I can handle by my own initiative, yet always considering the Church's guidelines and teachings. Also, when the bishop asks for specific tasks of me, I really must say yes, unless in conscience I believe it's contrary to the faith, which is almost unimaginable for a bishop to ask that I would do something contrary to the faith. So that's obedience to God for a priest. But every Catholic really has to say an obedient yes to God as well. Parents do it by always asking God for His perspective on their children, how He wants them to form their children. Children obey God by obeying their parents. That's a very concrete and tangible way to know that you are following God's will, if you are a child in a family. Students do it by giving their best to schoolwork, so that God can use the academics for His purposes in their lives. People in careers such as company owners, doctors, lawyers, nurses, judges, politicians, farmers, teachers, trash collectors, landscapers, restaurant workers, in whatever career, people obey God by living justly, giving their best to the work at hand, and considering every human person around them as an end in him or herself, comma, rather than ever considering a person an object to be used for attaining another goal. In the faith life of every Catholic, obedience means giving God His due, with daily prayer time and Mass attendance at least on weekends. Skipping weekend Mass is a mortal sin, unless you have a grave reason for doing so. Obedience to God means some effort to increase your intellectual knowledge of the faith as well, so you can think ever more faithfully in the light of Christ. As you go about your occupation and your vocation as an adult, the crowds, the tax collectors, and even the Roman soldiers ask St. John the Baptist what to do in order to please God. You and I, in every area of life, have to ask the same question. What must we do? Lord Jesus Christ, what must I do to please you? How do you want me to live my life? How do you want me to use the gifts you've given me? How can I affect every area of society with your light, with your grace? You see, obedience to God is not something reserved only to religious orders. Obedience to God is something every Catholic must live. But that is not a sad message. To live in perfect obedience to Jesus Christ will mean the greatest joy and freedom for each one of us. And we can attain it by consistent work and a ton of grace from God. It results in the utmost flourishing from God's perspective in every area of our life. Why does obedience to God include participating in the holy sacrifice of the Mass? Because here is the greatest source of grace from God. And here is our greatest gift back to Him. The sacrifice of Jesus, His Son, with our lives attached. As we encounter our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in this Mass, let's ask Him to help us realize the great joy of following Him as obedient disciples.